Doug Suttles said his team will use robotics.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam. After days of unsuccessfully trying to plug the gushing oil well in the Gulf by pumping down mud and other materials, BP is giving up on the so-called top-kill approach. NPR's Nell Greenfield-Boyce reports the company will instead launch another tricky effort to capture oil flowing out of the well.
BP executive Doug Suttles said his team will use robotic submarines to cut through the busted pipe that's leaking oil, then cap it and send the oil up through another pipe to a drill ship for collection. He says the equipment to try this is already in place, and if it works, it should be able to capture most of the gushing oil.
We're confident the job will work, but obviously we cannot guarantee success at this time.
The operation will take 4 days or more to set up. Meanwhile, the company is continuing to drill a relief well that could be used to stop the gusher, but that will take a couple of months to complete. Nell Greenfield-Boyce, NPR News.
Mr. Santos is running on a tough...
In Colombia, voters in today's presidential election are choosing between a former defense minister, Juan Manuel Santos, and a former mayor of Bogota. The BBC's Jeremy McDermott reports on the difference between the two candidates.
Mr. Santos is running on a tough security ticket as well as promising to generate more jobs. While Mr. Mocus, the former mayor of Bogota, has a more radical manifesto, pledging much more social investment to tackle what he sees as the roots of Colombia's 46-year civil conflict: poverty, inequality, and lack of education opportunities. Colombians have two extremes to choose from.
The BBC's Jeremy McDermott reporting from Bogota. The president of Malawi has pardoned two men sentenced to 14 years in prison for being gay. NPR's Gwen Tompkins reports that in Malawi, homosexuality is a crime.
Stephen Munzega and Tawange Chimbalanga have reportedly been released from prison. The couple was arrested in December when an engagement celebration they were having drew negative public attention. Earlier this month, the court convicted them of gross indecency and unnatural acts. The judge in the case gave the harshest penalty possible, saying he wanted to protect the people of Malawi. But human rights advocates and donor nations loudly defended the couple. And after meeting with United Nations Chief Ban Ki-moon, Malawi's president pardoned the men. But the pardon applies in only this case. Other gay people in that country remain vulnerable to harsh penalties. Malawi depends heavily on international donors like the U.S. and the European Union to survive. Those nations are urging the country to reverse laws that criminalize gay people. Gwen Tompkins, NPR News, Nairobi.
The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is predicting the Obama administration will be able to tell by year's end whether a NATO-led counterinsurgency effort in Kandahar, an Afghan Taliban stronghold, is successful. Admiral Mike Mullen made the comments today on television. This is NPR. Dennis Hopper, the iconic counterculture actor, has died at the age of 74. Hopper shot to fame after directing and starring in Easy Rider with Peter Fonda. The movie was made for $380,000 and eventually grossed $40 million worldwide. His next film, the last movie, bombed. It took years for Hopper to again be part of a big screen hit, but he was offered a role in Francis Ford Coppola's 1979 war epic Apocalypse Now, in which Hopper pretty much played himself. Californians will go to the polls June 8th on a ballot initiative that would get rid of the primary system for state and congressional elections. Instead, voters would be able to vote for any candidate. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News in Washington. Cabin crew of British Airways are striking again in a long-standing dispute with management over working conditions and pay. The company says more employees crossed the picket lines than expected, but admits many flights from the main hub at London's Heathrow Airport have been affected. A new 5-day strike got underway today. A small party in Japan has decided to leave Prime Minister Yukio Hatoyama's ruling coalition after he failed to follow through on a campaign promise and move a U.S. Marine base off Okinawa Island. It's unlikely that the Japanese leader's Democratic Party will falter with the departure of the Social Democratic Party. But the Prime Minister's handling of the U.S. base could hurt the Democrats in July elections. The leaders of Japan, South Korea, and China are wrapping up a 2-day summit in South Korea, but they have no pledge from China's premier to condemn North Korea for sinking a South Korean warship. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News in Washington.